So we see here Haggai. Let's read verse, starting in verse 2. It says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And then came the word of the Lord through Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed..." Is it time? Question. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lay waste? Or as the Hebrew says, depopulated or in ruins. Verse 5, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." The Amplified Bible says this, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you." So we see verse 4, God is responding to what the people have said in verse 2. The people said, "Lord, it's not time." And the Lord said in verse 4, addressing their selfishness, "Is it time for you to dwell in your fancy houses, and this house lay waste?" Where I'm not going to focus a whole lot of time in regards to even tithes and offerings, but that's basically what he's talking about. You're spending your money and your time all on yourself, and this house is laying in waste, ruins, and depopulated, because people's resources were focused on them instead of God and the work of the Lord. And so we've got the two groups of people. We got the people over here that are focusing all their time on themselves, selfish. I mean, the Bible says this in regards to selfishness. It says, talking about the works of the flesh, that if we're going to walk after the flesh, we are not going to be able to partake of the kingdom of God. We're not going to be able to partake of the resources of the kingdom of God. And so we've got a group of people over here that are complaining because nothing seems to work, but they are not putting the kingdom principles into effect in regards to giving and receiving tithes and offerings. And then there's another group of people. Verse 6, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And you have earned wages. And he that earns wages to put it into a bag with holes." So then we got another group of people over here who are. They're giving. They're sowing. They're endeavoring to be a blessing. And it seems like everything seems to be going out. And the increase that the Bible talks about, the great increase of causing it to be multiplied back to them, it just doesn't seem to be as far over and above all that we could dare ask or even think. And so we've got two groups of people. And verse 7 is the answer in regards to either of those groups. I mean, if all we need to do, the majority of the church can find themselves in either of these two groups. And so, verse 7 gives us the answer in regards to sowing much and reaping little, or else into not sowing anything and not getting anything. Verse 7 says, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Once again, the Amplified Bible says this way, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and present conduct, and how you have fared." In other words, we need to look in the mirror and we need to take inventory of our lives. Verse 8, here's the answer in verse 8. "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." Obviously, he was not glorified for the people in verse 2 that said it's not time to invest in the kingdom of God. Whether it be time, whether it be finances, whether it be prayer, whatever it may be, investing in the kingdom of God. And then he said, we can also understand that he didn't take pleasure in the people in verse 4, 2 and 4. He wasn't pleased with them because he said, "Come build the house and I'll take pleasure in it and I will be glorified." Look at what the Amplified Bible says. Verse 8, says, go up to the hill country and bring lumber and rebuild my house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord of hosts. But now listen to this. By accepting it as done for my glory, and by displaying my glory in it. In other words, he's saying, listen, build me a habitation. Build me a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified and manifest my glory. Amen? That's what he's saying. Here's the answer to either group is to build him a habitation. And in building him a habitation, he will be pleased. And in building him a habitation, we've opened up the door to allow him to receive glory and to manifest his glory. And what both groups need is God manifesting his glory, manifesting his presence, manifesting his very life. Amen? To multiply our seed sown, to increase us. Give and it shall be given. Hallelujah. Whatever it may be that we are giving. We're giving time. Hallelujah. Our time can be multiplied. We're giving in prayer. We can receive the benefits of prayer. Amen? God's manifest presence, his glory, his goodness in manifestation on our life. And then over here where people just are expecting and not doing. What's that called? Being a hearer of the word and not a doer. God says, listen, build my house, begin to do, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified and manifest my glory. And so we can see in verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of the remnant of all the people. Now verse 12. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord. How did they obey the voice of the Lord? Back to verse 14. Their spirits were stirred, and they came and did work. Hallelujah. They became doers. We see verse 12 that they obeyed. Hallelujah. Obedience. And then we also see chapter 2. Verse 18, the Lord says, consider now from this day and upward. Consider from this day onward. From the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's house was laid, he said, now from the time that you began working, the time that you began to obey me. Verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? It's a question. The answer was no. They began sowing. They began planting. They began working on the house of the Lord. And his response was, maybe I should read this in the Amplified Bible. Good. Is the harvested grain any longer in the barn? As to the grapevine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, they have not yet borne or brought forth. From this day on, I will bless you. From this day on, because you've obeyed me, because you have began to work, because you have begun building me a habitation, I will now empower you to prosper. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Good news. Hallelujah. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Because we're talking about praise. And I want us to see the importance of building him a habitation. Now, I'm not going to, we're really going to fly through this. I've probably got 40 minutes. We're going to go through a lot. So I want you just to hang on as we go for a quick ride here. I actually taught in the bookstore, there's a series called Building Him a Habitation. And it's 6 hours or six tapes. And so we're not going to get all 6 hours in this 45 minutes. But we're going to do the beginning, a good part of the beginning, just in the area of praise. I wanted to encourage us. We want to get out of these two positions, amen? We want to get into the place where we're working, where we're building him a habitation so he can be take pleasure, so he can be glorified and manifest his glory in our lives. Amen? We don't want to stay where we are. We don't want to keep going around the same circle of things not really working or just kind of working or just wishing they were working. Amen? We want things working. Amen? We want the word working in our lives. Hallelujah. So, Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord Jehovah, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, and the horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation, my deliverance, my deliverer. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Now the Hebrew, that little phrase, I will prepare him a habitation, prepare him a habitation. The Hebrew word there for prepare a habitation can also be translated this way. Celebrate with praise. That phrase, prepare a habitation, can also be translated in the Hebrew, the Hebrew word, nava, can also be translated celebrate with praise. So when God's talking to us, I want you to build me a habitation, we can see right here that Moses, when he was singing song of triumph and thanksgiving to God, that he said, I will build or prepare a habitation, or I will celebrate in him with my praise. Meaning the same thing, preparing him a habitation. Let's go to Psalms 22. Which is the more well-known scripture in this direction. Psalms 22. Psalms 22, verse 3. Hallelujah. Psalms 22, verse 3 says, But you are holy, thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Talking about our God, you are holy. You who inhabits the praises. Now, if he inhabited the praises of Israel, under the new covenant, we can expect him to inhabit the praises of the church. Amen? Because there are three groups of people on the earth. The Jews, the nations, and the church. And he said here, in regards to the Jews, he inhabits the praises of the Jews. Now, under the new covenant, with us added as a new group, the church, it's a better covenant based on better promises. So it's obvious. Even if it was just the same, that he would inhabit the praises of the church. Amen? As his children. Praise God. So, the Bible says here that God inhabits the praises of his kids. That word inhabit means to sit down. It means to settle down. It means to tarry. It means to abide. To remain and to return. Does it seem like sometimes we have a wonderful time of worship, whether it be at church or whether it be at home, and then we go about our business, and it just seems like it's not the same. Somehow I left it. Somehow, I mean, the presence, the manifestation of his presence is just, I just need to get back in his presence. God said he'll return. We can get him to return. Amen? To inhabit, to return, to dwell, to settle down, to remain, to abide. Remember, if we stay in praise, we will not be moving towards sin. And so if we stay in praise, we can have him remain. He will inhabit or remain. Amen? Remain to wherever we're going. See, and that's part of practicing the presence of God. It's to a degree of being able to just to praise him all the time, praising him, blessing him, honoring him, magnifying him, always just being attentive to him. And he inhabits that. He inhabits that. He remains in that. Hallelujah. I remember one time when I was going to Raymond, I enjoyed the TV show Remington Steele. But there was this one episode, I don't know who wrote it, but it was the most stupid one in the world. It had a depressing end to it. It was like, what a waste of time. And I was just kind of heavy. Because I watched it, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the show in general, but this one episode was so stupid. I had to go into my room and do what? I had to get him to return. It's no use in going to bed depressed. We might as well get in the presence of God, have him return, get his presence and his goodness, and just get that liberty back in and on us. Amen? And so what did I do? I just began to praise him. 5-10 minutes, and just praising him, worshiping him, blessing him. Until it just lifted. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen? Hallelujah. Bring his presence back on the scene. It makes no difference what it is. I mean, if you're looking at a bill and it gets you depressed, don't stay there. Get up and get his presence to return. Amen? Hallelujah. Get him back in manifestation. Begin to worship him. Hallelujah. God inhabits. He sits down. I'll tell you what. If I just came to your place and you had lots of things to do and I dung the doorbell and you just came and opened up the door and we visited and then I left. That's not inhabiting. Amen? That's not settling down and dwelling. But if I came over and you said, come on in and got the fancy chair and there's already some snacks and everything and, oh yeah, don't worry, just come on in, you know, make yourself at home and all of a sudden, see, I've settled down. Sometimes you don't want your visitors to get too settled down because then you know they're there for the long haul. Sometimes you got other things to do and you just don't want them to get settled. My parents have this couch that I know my relatives, my grandma and my aunt and uncle, when they come over, it's very nice. It's getting older now. Bought it when I was younger, but it's still soft and you kind of just sink into it and you relax. And so it's always, to a degree, there's a hard time getting out of it. Because it's got a nice tilt to it too, so you just kind of, boy, it's real comfortable. And you get into some of those restaurants, and they got such a short little spot for your butt to sit on, and the back is leaning forward, and you feel like you're ready to fall and slide off the chair. Well, they want you to get out so they can get someone else in to feed them. But you get to someone, you know, sit in your nice chair, and it's like, ah, I don't want to go anywhere. Right? We want God to come settle down in our lives. We want him to settle on down with us. Hallelujah. We don't want him just to come for visits. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So God inhabits, sits down, settles down, tarries, abides, remains, and returns. In what? The praises of his people. That's how it happens, through the praises. Now this word praises here is the Hebrew word tehillah. Now I dare say most people don't know what this word means, because they'll think we'll just sing a couple new cute little songs. But this word tehillah means this, laudation. And it comes from the root word. This is the root word of the word laudation. Or the root word that's translated, could be translated laudation or praises. And the root word, the root word, when it's stuck into a word, the word will carry and take on the meaning of the root. The root word is stuck into a word, and the new meaning of the word still takes on the meaning or the flavor of the root word. And so translated praises or laudation, but also this is the root word. It comes from this, to be clear. You know, God does not inhabit just the... He inhabits the clearness. Amen? It's not our mouth singing a song and our brain thinking about where we're going to go get dessert and our body screaming because it's tired. God inhabits the clearness. Amen? Clear. Responding, I'm singing from my heart. I'm very clear about what I'm doing. Clear. To shine. Praise ought not to be depressing. When we're singing, when we're praising God, He inhabits the praises, the shining of His people. Amen? There ought to be a shine. There ought to be a joy. There ought to be life. Amen? And that's part of being clear. It's hard to get your flashlight to shine when it's covered in mud. Amen? It's hard to. It's hard to get it to shine if it has a crack or something and it's all filled with condensation. But it gets clear, and then it shines properly when it's clear. It also is translated to make a show, a demonstration, to make a show. God is not interested in, let me just say it this way. God is interested in us making a show. God inhabits when we make a show. Hallelujah. As we demonstrate, as we make a show of shining and being clear. Because praise will affect our body. It'll affect our praise. Well, I'm just praising God in my heart. Silent praise. No. It's not very clear that way. What you say is in your heart, and what's showing on your face and your body are two different things. It's not very clear. Shining. To make a show. It also means this, to boast. God likes us to boast in Him. Amen? Just to brag on Him. Look what the Lord has done and brag on Him. He's so good. I mean, that's what Moses was doing. Amen? The horse and the rider he threw into the sea. Hallelujah. Praise God. To boast. It also means this. Clamorously foolish. I don't want to be clamorously foolish. Whatever that means. Clamorously foolish. God inhabits the laudation or the clamorous foolishness of His kids. Hallelujah. He loves that. I don't care who's watching or what's going on, Lord, I just love You. And I just want to let You know it. Sometimes teenagers are afraid to kiss their parents. Goodbye or whatever it may be. They think that's just foolish. We ought not to be afraid to be clamorously foolish to love on our God. Hallelujah. Amen? He loves it. It's a demonstration. It's a show. To make a show. Clamorously foolish. You know, the Bible says that to the natural mind, spiritual things are foolishness. And you know what the Apostle Paul said? I'm going to be a fool for Christ. In other words, he said, you know what? I am going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to flow in the Spirit. I'm going to flow with the Holy Ghost. And to the natural mind, it's going to look foolish. To those natural thinking people, it's going to look foolish. But I'm going to be a fool for Jesus. I'm going to do things God's way. I'm going to love on Him. I'm going to be clamorously foolish. I'm going to be excessive in walking and flowing and being intimate with my God. Amen? Hallelujah. God inhabits this stuff. What else does it mean? It means to rave, to celebrate, and to glory. To rave, to celebrate, and to glory. God inhabits that kind of praise. That's the kind of praise the Bible says He inhabits. That's the kind of praise He said He returns to. If we want to run God off, we ought to do something different. But he says this is the stuff he returns to. This is what he remains in. This is what he'll settle down in and just get comfortable. And he takes pleasure in it. And he said, I'll be glorified and manifest my glory in this kind of praise. Amen? So we need to make some changes. Or we need to encourage and remind ourselves. I need to remind and encourage myself. Hallelujah. So likewise each and every one of us. God inhabits the praises of his people. Now let's go to Psalms 149. Hallelujah. Psalms 149. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 149, verse 1 says, Hallelujah! Or praise the Lord. Same thing. Hallelujah! Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Sing unto the Lord Jehovah a new song. A new song. Well, what's a new song? Well, let's just find out what the Hebrew has to say about the new song. The word new can also be translated this, fresh. God wants us to sing him a fresh song. And you know, a fresh song is not just a song that's never been sung before. A fresh song is just a song that comes up from your heart. A fresh song is a song that you just respond and sing to, and it comes forth from your innermost being. Amen? An old song is something that just comes from being memorized. And just singing the song, just going through the melody, just repeating words. That's what makes grace useless, you know? Well, let's just say grace. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. There's no power, there's no demonstration in that. It's a prayer from the heart. Let's pray a new song, a new prayer. Hallelujah. It's a fresh prayer. It's one I mean right now. I maybe meant it yesterday, but you know what? I still mean it now. Hallelujah. When a husband... It may have been something that said 597 times, but the 598th time, it's still fresh. It's still refreshing. Amen? So likewise with God. A new song can be a new song. A new song can be what the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 5. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. It can be hot off the press, brand inspired by the Holy Ghost. Something new. But you know what? A new song can be a song that we've sung last week and last month and last year and last decade. But we still singing those same words from our heart to the Lord. Amen? A new song. Not just something that's repeated, but something it can be still inspired. Lord, I just need Hakaramoshto Soborabakadesh Disikiri. Ahakamoshtoso. And up comes that old song. And I love those words, that's exactly. And I sing it, and it's fresh, and it's new, and it's inspired by him to be sung at that time. Amen? And he inhabits it. He gets on, he gets right on into the middle of it with you. Amen? He just climbs right on into the middle of it with you. We feel like we might be in, we're in the car all by ourselves. Lord, he'll climb on right into the middle of it with us. He'll return. A song of praise, a new song, a fresh song. But you know what else it means? Listen to this.
It means to rebuild, to renew, and to repair. This fresh song, what have we been? We've been talking about building him a habitation. This new song, this fresh song, will help. It will rebuild, renew, and repair. And God was impressed, and he was so pleased with his people as they began to rebuild his house, as they began to repair his house. Amen? They were working on his habitation. Well, we're his habitation now. And he wants to be manifested in our lives. He wants to be involved in our lives. Hallelujah. And so as we sing this new song, a fresh song, the Bible says we are rebuilding. We need some rebuilding in our lives. We need some rebuilding in our marriages. We need some rebuilding in our finances. We need some rebuilding in our physical bodies. We need some rebuilding in our situation and circumstances. We need some repair. We can get the rebuilder and the repair on the scene. Amen? How does it come? By singing him a new song. He inhabits a new song, a fresh song, to rebuild and to repair. That's what he's talking about when he said, I'll be glorified and manifest my glory. His presence in manifestation repairs, restores, rebuilds, renews. Amen? I mean, that's when the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll repair their strength. They will rebuild their strength. Means their strength will be increased. Amen? Why? Because they're waiting on the Lord. They're building him a habitation. A fresh, new, clear, shining song. A song of celebration and foolish clamorousness. Hallelujah. And he just moves on in. Just settles in. You know, when you play golf and you're in a sand bunker, what you need to do is you need to settle in. You don't want to just hop in there and go and just try to get all the sand out before you hit the ball. No, what you do is you climb on in there and you settle in. You dig your feet in so you got a firm foundation, and then you ready to roll and you pull the ball out of there. Hallelujah. But you settle in. A batter has to settle in. He settles in, gets his feet, settles in at home plate as he's ready to receive that pitch. Hallelujah. God wants to settle in. Amen? He doesn't want to be moved. He wants to settle in. He wants to come settle in on our couch. He wants to come settle in. He wants a foundation. Amen? He wants to get in for good. Settle in. He wants to settle in our lives. And it comes, and he's able to repair and to restore and to renew and to rebuild because of this new song, this fresh song, this clear song. Amen? And it's a song. There's a melody. There's utterance. Hallelujah. It's a song, a new song, praise God, that we get to sing to him. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord Jehovah a new song. And his praise. That's the Hebrew word tehillah again. Praise. Singing that clamorously foolish, raving, wild, exciting, celebrating, clear song. A new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Hallelujah. Well, that includes here at church. Along in the congregation. Amen? Praise God. Now let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 says this, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. Ah, High Praise. You know, High Praise is part of that new song. High Praise is not something from your mind. It's not something that's been memorized. Once again, it's not something out of a hymn book. It's not something off of a screen, out of a computer, or off an overhead. A new song and high praises, even though they may be in there, come from here. Now let's find out what high praises means. See, we're finding out the benefits of praise, the benefits of building him a habitation, just by finding out what these words, which we just kind of read over and think there's not much to them, find out what the Hebrew means. We're finding out some benefits of praise. And it's given us instruction on how to praise accurately to where he can take pleasure in it, be glorified, and manifest his glory. So, this word high praise, the word high, also means this. And I'll just read them all and we'll touch on them then. It means to rise. It means exalt. It means to get oneself up. It means to lift up self. These are all in Strong's Concordance. It means to mount up. And it means exaltation. What kind of praise is this? These are the high praises of God. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth. They're the praises that will cause us to rise. Rising praises. Rising praises, praises of exaltation. Praises that are to God. That arise to Him, that exalt Him. But we also need to see this. If we are in a position or a place where we need to get ourselves up, you know what? The temptation, because we live life, is we're working and we're fighting the fight of faith and we're going on, we're pressing in and all of a sudden we can get beaten down by life, right? And so we're down. Lord, I'm down. I sure wish you'd do something. You know, I'm obviously, you know what's going on here, Lord. You said that nothing's hidden from your eyes. And oh, dear God, I need some help. You said you're my helper. Oh, help me, help me. Anytime now. Come on. I wish there was some maybe quicker way to get directly to you. I mean, it's getting late here. But see, the Bible says he's not impressed with our need, and he's not impressed with our worry and our anxiety and our fear. He's not moved by any of these things. The Bible says he's moved by the high praises. He's moved by our new song. He's moved by our praises. And in that, he'll take pleasure, he'll be glorified and manifest his glory. So as we begin to sing the high praises, what do? We need to get ourselves up. How am I going to do that? It's time to sing high praise. It's time to respond from my heart and not talk about my problem and not tell him about how much I need him, but begin to worship him because he's God, because he's good. Begin to magnify him, sing from my heart that I love him and honor him. And all of a sudden, that kind of praise, the Bible says, will cause us to lift ourselves up, to get oneself up, to cause us to rise. Hallelujah. To mount up. Isaiah talks about mounting up with wings as eagles. Mounting up. Hallelujah. He says this happens by this new song, this high praises of God that are on that's in our mouth, that's on our lips. The high praises of God. And as we continue in that, we don't move towards sin. But as we continue in the high praises, as we continue to glorify God, as we continue this new song, he is able to continue to cause us to rise, to continue to cause us to increase. Amen? We're not just stuck to be on a certain level. But the level we're on is unlimited, because He's unlimited. He said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Come on up, come on up, come on up. Keep coming, come on up. Hallelujah. Let's just go where no one's gone before. Hallelujah. The high praises of God. To get ourselves up. To lift up ourselves. Because you know what? No one can lift you up for you. No one can praise God for you. No one can tithe for you. No one can be healed for you. You know what I'm saying? No one can sin for you. And no one can receive forgiveness for you. Jesus is the only substitute that did everything for us. Amen? He's the only one. If we're going to get up, we got to get up. Others can help us, but we have to get up. We have to even accept the help. And a lot of times, I mean, that's what we're doing here at church. Twofold. Number one, our praise and worship is to help get people up. If we need help, it's like, I just can't do it at home. Well, come on out, glory to God, and get involved. Don't just look at the lights, but begin to respond from your heart, because we're here to help. Amen? Join in together. There's help, so you can rise and be lifted up. And then also, this is practice. So we can go home and do it in our living room. Amen? I tell you what, if all we do is 15 minutes or 20 minutes twice a week, it ain't going to do it. So this is our 20 minutes twice a week of practice. Hallelujah. And we practice, glory to God. And then we go home and we do some more practicing, or we go home and we actually do it for real. Amen? Glory to God. And as we do it for real, you know what that's called? That's a new song. That's a clear, amen, shining forth song. It's not just getting involved or getting into the hoopla with everyone else. It's all of a sudden, I'm making my own hoopla. Amen? In my own living room, my own bedroom, my own shower, hallelujah. Making my own hoopla, hallelujah. Praise God. And God said, in that, He takes pleasure. He enjoys it. And he'll be glorified and manifest His glory. Hallelujah. That's what we want. We want Him involved in our life. Not just talking about it. Amen? Not just sitting around the coffee shop talking about the good things God is doing and all excited and thrilled about it. But being able to sit there talking about what God is doing for me, what God's doing for you, what God's doing all over the world, including me. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not just satisfied with God doing good things everywhere else. I want Him to do good things in my life. And He manifests His glory and His goodness in our life. Through, we see the Tehillah praise, He inhabits that. Through a new song, the high praises of God. These are all forms by which He's able to manifest Himself in our lives. Cause us to raise up, cause us to rebuild and be refreshed. Now let's just go to Psalms 100 and let's just close with this. We can go home and we can actually do this. We can go home and actually do this. Hallelujah. We can do this tonight. We don't go mad. I mean, we can leave going. I mean, we've left right now. It's like, hallelujah, praise God. But how? I'm all stirred up about doing it. I'm all stirred up. But how? And we're not going to get into all the hows, but you know what? We can just even take one step. I mean, we probably know a number of hows already. But let's just look at Psalms 100 as we close and just get a few hows. Psalms 100, a psalm of praise, or a psalm of tauda, a psalm of thanksgiving. Verse 1, make a joyful noise, and it literally noise. It's not making a joyful silent, it's making a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Literally, that's what it is. Make a joyful noise. Not a sad noise. Lord. No, a joyful noise. Woo! Glory to God forevermore. A joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve. You know that word serve can also be translated worship. Serve the Lord or worship the Lord with gladness. Not sadness, but gladness. Not madness, but gladness. Say gladness. Hallelujah. Serve or worship the Lord Jehovah with gladness. Now that word gladness means exceeding joy, pleasure, and rejoice. In other words, we're to be excited about it. Amen? We are to enjoy it. It's to give us pleasure to worship Him in gladness. We want to worship Him, to serve Him with gladness, with joy, with exceeding pleasure and rejoicing. Hallelujah. And then the word come is the exact same word as the first word in verse 4, enter. And they both also can be translated get. In other words, come before His presence, or enter before His presence, or get into His presence. Hallelujah. We need to get into His presence with how? Singing. Now, the Hebrew word singing here, this is what it means. It can be translated a shout for joy. This is not just a la 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 la. No, this is a shout for joy singing. Amen? It also means this, joyful singing. A shout for joy and joyful singing. That's, you know, once again, that's singing that's coming from here. Amen? It's not singing that's coming from here. It's joyful shout and singing that comes from our innermost being. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord Jehovah, He is God. We need to know that. He's God. He has made us, and not we ourselves. Now, I've got a little 3 beside that phrase, and not we ourselves. And my cross-reference says this in regards to that phrase. And His we are. Or we can say this. And we are His. No, we're to know that the Lord Jehovah, He is God. He has made us, and we are His. We are His what? We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He's going to take care of us because we're His. New Covenant says He bought and purchased us with the precious blood of Jesus. He paid a high price for us, and He did it because He wanted to. He loves us. Hallelujah. So, verse 4. So enter. Come. Get into His gates, His openings, or His door. So the word gate can be translated opening or door with thanksgiving. We enter into His gates or into His door with thanksgiving. And that's the Hebrew word tauda, which means praise, thanks, adoration, and confession. There's lots of confession songs we can sing. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen? The first song we sang today, confession song. Hallelujah. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Confession songs. Hallelujah. Glory to confession songs. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free in the name of the Lord, I'm free. Confession songs, declaring who we are in Christ. Enter into His gates or into His door with this, tauda, thanks, adoration, and confession. This is how we get into the door. Hallelujah. We enter in with thanksgiving. Adoration, confession, and into His courts, or into His yard, or also means into His personal property. We may enter in the door, we may get into the gate, and now we're moving on into His personal property. We're moving on in to His very courts. How? With tehillah.
with being clamorously foolish, with laudation, raving, celebration. That's how we're coming on into His presence. We get in through the door, and then we get excited and thrilled, and magnify Him, glorify Him. We're just celebrating Him. But then from that place, it goes on. We're moving, hallelujah. We're moving up. And then it says, be thankful unto Him. You know, that is completely confusing, because that word thankful is translated yada. And the word yada means yad, hands extended. It means raising our hands. Nowhere here does it say clapping our hands. We're thrilled and we're excited. We come in and singing songs of thanksgiving and confession. And then we come in and we begin to celebrate and praise and magnify and be clamorously foolish. And then we move and we're still moving up. And now we come to a place where our hands get lifted. And we begin to be thankful. Yada. Hands extended. Be thankful unto Him. Hands extended unto Him and bless His name. That word bless can also be translated kneel, praise, salute, and thank. So we move from a place out here where we're getting into His door with thankfulness and confession and adoration, to a place of celebration and joy and shouting hallelujah, to a place of where we begin to lift our hands and begin thankful and blessing Him and kneeling before Him and adoring Him. The Bible says, and bless His name, and that phrase, His name, represents all He is. We are to bless His name, or we are to kneel, to praise, to salute, and thank Him for who He is. Amen? I mean, we come out here where we're thankful for all that He's doing for us, and we move to a place now where we're beginning to bless Him and thank Him and adore Him for who He is. Not just for what He's done for us, but now for who He is. Because the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Say, that's me. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we've taken our quick journey this evening in regards to finding out what is inhabitable praise. Amen? Because we found out based on this that there is uninhabitable praise. That's praise that's not done this way. Praise that's not done in spirit and in truth. So, hallelujah, we've learned. And now we get to practice and be doers of the Word, allowing Him to take pleasure, building Him a habitation with our praise and those different kinds of praise, but making it begins from our heart. Being excited, thrilled, lifting our hands and bowing our knees, and loving on Him. And He said, I'll take pleasure in that. And I'll be glorified and manifest my glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up.